in Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. I think I have that.
And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Thank you. I know we were talking about perseverance, and for the last, you know, several weeks, when I read this one, it's like tribulations. And I know some others, I think NIV or maybe Amplified, some other ones, they talk about, what's the other word for tribulations they have? Struggles? Suffering? And it's tribulations. And I always think about, when I hear tribulations, I start thinking about Revelation. But the tribulations that we face, the sufferings that we face, I think God's trying to work something in us. And I think about this week, it's not hard. Are we willing to stand for what the truth is? There's a pastor in Calgary this week who got arrested for standing up for what is right. You don't really hear much of the church standing up for what is right, especially when grown men are dressed like women and teaching young kids stories. Full drag queens teaching young kids, impressionable kids, and we think that, some people think that's right, but it's not right. But yet, the church doesn't stand up. I ask myself, why is the church not standing up to this garbage? Are we afraid of what will happen? Are we afraid or too ashamed to stand up for what is right and holy? Here we are, we have young kids being tormented, indoctrinated into devilish things. When I hear that, I think about, you know, in the last 2 years, how the church has been quiet, not wanting to stand up, not wanting to be different, set apart, to be the light in this dark world. The church is not supposed to go with the flow. We're supposed to go against the flow. We're supposed to stand up for what is holy and righteous. I don't know if that troubles anybody else, but it really makes me troubled to know that here's a man, he said, you know, enough is enough. We will face persecution when we stand up for what is right and for what is holy. We need to pray for those men who dress like women, because they're not mentally there, because they need the Lord and Jesus Christ as their Savior. We need to be praying for them. We need to be praying for the man who had the courage to stand up in faith to say what is wrong. We can't turn a blind eye against darkness. We cannot hide in the four walls the saying that we'll just keep praying, but we need to put faith into action. Stand up. You know, anything that makes persecution is anything that makes our life harder or threatens your faith. In the goodness and the power of trusting in God. So tribulation will come when we stand up against what is wrong. We know things in this world will get worse. And I think about how in Sodom and Gomorrah, even Job was the only, not Job, Lot. He was the only righteous family in Sodom and Gomorrah. I think about Noah. His family was the only one found righteous in a whole evil of the world. I think of even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood up and said, you know what? We are not going to bow down to false gods. We're not going to bow down to what the world says is okay. We are going to be different. We're going to stand up to the truth. And I'm going to trust God. And they were put into a fire. They went through stuff. There's so many people throughout the scriptures who stood up for what is right and for what is holy. You might think, man, I'm only one person. But you know what? You think about the convoy. It only took one or two people to start that and went around the world. We stand up for what is true, for what is holy, for what is righteous. You know, tribulation, God allows us to go through tribulation and trials. There's a process, it's tempering. You know, you guys are blacksmiths. You guys, in your 4-H, you had a blacksmith, you're tempering the knife, pounding it, right? And why do you temper the metal? Why do you guys temper it? You guys are making knives. Why did you temper it? Shape it, yeah? Strengthen it. When you temper something, you're making it echoing. You're making it stronger. You're taking what would be brittle metal and making it stronger. I think God does that with us. Through tribulation, he's making us stronger. He's taking what is weak and making it stronger. It's God that makes us stronger. He's taking the weakness in you and he's going to make you strong to stand up for what is right. You know, by heating it to high temperature, not before it melts, right? So it's pliable. So he wants us to persevere. He wants our faith to be unbreakable. He wants our faith tested, so we would stand up against what is wrong. You can pray all you want. It's good, but you're actually going to put it to action. Step out in faith. You think of Daniel. He said, I will not bow down. I'm still going to pray to God 3 times a day, no matter what. You think even when Daniel first got in to the king's court and what he said he would not do, he became a man of integrity. Was it Daniel? You want to read that? Daniel 1:9, I think it was. Who is that one?
But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chef of the eunuchs, how do you say that? Something. To allow him not to defile himself. Mm-hmm.
But you look, Daniel 1:9, he purposed in his heart, before he went into a trial, He said, I will not do this. I'm not going to defile this body, this temple of God's. When nobody really was around, his parents weren't around. People that, you know, there might have been a few people, but nobody else stood up. But he purposed in his heart, he will not defile the body that God created. He stood up, taking a stand. So God takes us through hard times to temper the steel of our faith and to show us that if we are real, authentic, genuine, to proving that if we are truly following the God that we profess on Sundays that we are following, is my faith real? Is it authentic? He needs to put us through tribulations, show if it is truly genuine, or if we're all just taught. So it'd be proven. In that way, he gives us hope that we're really going to trust the Lord Jesus through it all. Because it talked about in Romans 5, it talks about how in verse 5, I think it was, I'll read it. And such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. This is amplified. For God loves has poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. He's given us such hope, knowing that whatever we face here is preparing for us for a greater life. He's showing in our lives what is in our hearts. Do I really trust God when it gets really tough? When I go through difficulties, am I trusting God or do I turn to something else? What do I turn to when things get tough? I think that's what God is preparing the church to be. He wants the church to be ready, prepared, because it's not going to get any easier. And you wonder why you see a lot of people walking away or become progressive Christians. Progressive Christianity is growing. They're watering down the Word of God. So they don't have to go against the grain of what society says is right. But do we want to do what God says or what society says? And it's going to cost us. Might not have many friends. You might face difficulty. People might call you names. But when we face Jesus, he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Is our heart sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, tribulation seems, nobody likes going through it. I remember when I first started pastoring. My goodness, the things I had to face and people that I thought I could trust all walked away. Only a handful of people actually stood by my side. Everybody else kind of vanished. And I cried out to God. I was like, God, why? Why did you put me in this position? And actually my faith in the Lord grew. I had to depend on God more than anything else. Start reading his word, to meditate on his word, to be encouraged and strengthened. The first 5 years of being a pastor was really tough. People walked away. We'll just go somewhere better. You will have people walk away in your life when you stand up for what is right. Christianity is not for the faint of heart. Tribulation, you know, Paul was saying in Romans 5:3-5, says, Paul was saying, like, we're not going to feel happy during hard times. We're not going to be happy. But he also says we should always be joyful. And sometimes through the process of sanctification or being crushed, olives are crushed, they're pressed, and oil comes out, starts flowing. So where does that joy come from? It comes from the Lord, when we are being pressed on all sides, but yet not destroyed. He allows some pressure to come into our lives to produce his holiness, produce his character in our lives. There has to be some sort of pressure in our life to make us really turn our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, to reveal what's in our life that is what we are more dependent on than God Almighty. Tribulation seems to, so it exposes the hopes, our hope, where it lies. Where does it lie? Where's the obstacles in that tribulation becomes opportunities. Opportunities that produce through the tribulations, it opens up our eyes to what really what God's sharing to us or talk to us about. What's he trying to grab your attention today about? You know, through a battle, our faith is tested. It builds endurance, so we will not stop pressing in. It's producing character, godly character. The believer in Christ builds a character by choosing to keep doing what is right. Things that are doing things consistently right. I know we're going to fail. We're going to sin. But you think, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear about David? What is your repentance? You know, he said, David is a man after my own heart. He chose him to be the king of Israel. David, through his young age, like younger than you guys, killed a bear, killed a lion, defeated Goliath. And how did he do all that? Was it his strength? God's strength. You look at, you know, you could say, if David was, say, Malcolm Owen against, you know, the shortest of them all, over here, right? And Goliath would have been 8 feet tall. It would have been kind of scary. He would have had a rock throw it. But your trust would have to be in the Lord, not in your ability. And sometimes we trust in our abilities to get us through, and instead of trusting the Lord to help us through it. So there's that tribulation that we need to, well, that battle that we need to face, that pressure. So the pattern of suffering causes us to trust God on a deeper level and move. And the more we trust God, hopefully we will consistently choose not to compromise the Word of God. Character, too, produces a new quality. Hope. As we go through tribulation, eventually through the tribulations, it will produce hope. Hope that doesn't fade away. Hope that we know that God is true to His Word. Hope knowing that no matter what I'm facing, God promises that he's always with me. Even though sometimes I can't feel him or see him, he's always with us to encourage us to persevere. Hope is built deeply when we go through trials and tribulation, difficulties. Our hope grows. It becomes unshakable. Hope is confidence in God, knowing that he will never lie. God never lies. What lie are we believing, perhaps today, that goes contrary to what the Word of God says? Hope is the baseline for the believer's thoughts and emotions. So no matter what comes along, we are fully convinced that our ultimate end will be in the presence of God Almighty. Because that's what verse 5 says. Christ is our hope. Tribulation produces patience. The Bible teaches that God wants to work a character quality in your heart known as patience. How's our patience? And patience is not being passive. When you think of patience, it's not being passive, just like, whatever. But it's actually involved. God has patience. He's actively involved in our lives. He's actively involved. He has so much patience with you and I that he's still actively working in our hearts, changing us, molding us, tempering us, making us where we're weak, making us stronger by his strength so that we can persevere through what we're going to be facing. You think about the last year, would you even think about what's happening today, more so than ever? How ungodly things have become more and more ungodly. My goodness, I hate to see what's going to be in 6 months or a year from now. Are we growing in the Lord? What are our reactions going to be like when trouble comes to us? What is your reaction going to be when trouble comes? What are you going to do when trouble comes? Are we going to complain? Whine? You say, Lord, thank you for that you're preparing me before tribulation. I'm going to prepare in my heart, as Daniel says. Before this comes, I'm going to stay true to your word no matter what happens. Lord, I want to dig into your word and know your word, marinate in your word, apply your word to my life. So when I know when this trouble comes, I will not fall away or lose heart. So when we write down in our journals what God is speaking to us about, so when that times come, you could open up and go, wow, thank you, Lord, that you're encouraging me. I can read this through this terrible time. You know, so many people, they want to run away from trials. They'll buy a plane ticket. Want to get away. Or they move to a different town. They depend on a bottle, a needle. Anything but God. Others maybe might even get cynical towards God. And shake their fist at God and complain to God, why are you doing this to me? Why am I going through trials and tribulations right now, Lord? Don't you know that I love you? Job, his wife says, denounce God, rebuke God. He's like, no, I'm going to trust God. Through all what Job went through, and God allowed that to show and to prove that he loved him. without all his wealth. He loved him because he loved him. Even our character, he wants to prove purity, to show what's in our heart. He wants to give us a new heart. But boy, sometimes as a follower of Christ, our hearts get bitter, resentful. And through trials, he's revealing what's in our heart. He wants us to have a pure heart. Many of us don't want to go through trials. I don't. I know we all been through. It's not a pleasant time. But when we have friends and family, people that will pray with us, they come alongside of us, those trials become different. It's actually becoming a community, encouraging one another in the faith to help one another to grow. But I want God to work in my heart until he burns out the dross in my life. I want him, that's my prayer. I want God to continue to work in my heart, to burn out the dross, the garbage, the stuff that I am not letting go of. You know, you think about how God, the refiner's fire, and as you heat up metal and it becomes a liquid, all the garbage comes to the top. And it's floating out the top. And then you scoop it up, and God's very gently, the scoop, what comes off, become more refined. The fire sometimes gets a little hot, but it's a good thing. Have you grown in your Christian life when you're faced with trouble, heartache, and pressure, pain, misunderstanding, or maybe you're bewildered why this is going through? Have you grown in your Christian walk? Are you growing? Am I growing? Sometimes, man, I feel like I'm going 2 steps backwards. Do you grow when you had nowhere to go but to God? And you had to keep searching your heart and saying, oh God, what's wrong? God, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to teach me? What are you want me to confess? God uses those difficulties to produce growth in us. A person's character is a sum of his disposition, thoughts, intentions, desires, and actions. It's a good to remember the character God is trying to produce in us. What is God trying to produce in you today? Or lately. You think of the people in the Bible who had noble character. You think of, Ruth had noble character, David, Job, there's Joseph. His brothers sold him into slavery. And yet, even went through trials, he stayed faithful to God. Even Potiphar's house, his wife is trying to go after him. He ran away from her. Are we running away from things in our life that would entangle us? So character is influenced, developed by our choices. Are we making good choices? Character influences choices. So what's Proverbs 11:3?
The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them.
Yeah. So character will help us weather the storms of life and keep us from sin. What's Proverbs 10:9?
Proverbs 10:9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Mm-hmm.
What's 1 Corinthians 15:33?
Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
I know that in the New King James it says, do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. That's why we should be careful of who we hang out with. But we're supposed to not avoid them, but are we influenced in lives? What's Romans 12:2? Who had that one? Did I get that Romans 12:2 to anybody? Oh, go read. I don't think I did.
Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Yeah. So do not conform to this world. As followers of Christ, we're not supposed to conform or to become like the people of this world. We're supposed to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ so that we reveal Christ to the people of this world, set apart, different, living differently. So it is the Lord's purpose to develop his character within us. Well, who has Proverbs 17:3? Nobody does?
Proverbs 17:3. The fining pot is for silver, but the furnace for gold. The furnace for gold. But the Lord trieth the hearts.
Yeah. So he tests the hearts, revealing what's in your heart. So godly character is a result of the Holy Spirit working, sanctifying our lives. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, sanctification. Enid, you guys talked about that this morning through what we were praying, what we were singing today, sanctification. Character in a believer is a consistent manifest. Jesus was to continue to manifest in our lives. Who has Philippians 2:12? I think Eric does. 12-16.
Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain.
Amen. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become a blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of the crooked and perverse generation. We're living more and more, it seems like, in a perverse generation. As followers of Christ, I learned that if I'm going to complain about something and I don't do anything about it, then I should stop complaining about it. And the thing I start complaining about, I get involved in it. So let us remind ourselves that Christ is our only true hope. Hebrews 6:17 says, "Thus God, determined to show more abundantly to the heirs, promised the immutable of his counsel, conformed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie," that's one, "and we might have a strong consolation, and we have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope that we have is an anchor of our soul, both secure and steadfast, which endures the presence behind the veil." That's Christ. Christ is our anchor. He keeps us anchored. So if you don't have hope, you don't have anything. Faith believes, but hope expects. A person who lives by confidence in God alone and looks to God alone is grown in godly character. He teaches us that affliction is God's great proving ground for genuine faith in Christ. And he graciously takes us through trials so that our faith will be seen as genuine and we will have the hope because we are not hypocrites. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want my faith found in Christ. I know before I became a believer, I didn't like Christians who are hypocrites. And that's the last thing I want to be. It's a hypocrite. I want my faith to be genuine. I want to walk as the Lord enables me, helps me. So, the character of God is a good one. It's vital for our day that we live in. So my hope is, ask the Lord, am I a hypocrite in any area of my life? Where am I not walking righteously for you? Is my faith found in something else other than you, Lord? So, Father, I just thank you that you are God. And your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. Lord, I pray that you continue to search us and prepare us for what's to come. And Lord, let us be glad for the day that we live in. We get to thank you for the opportunities that we get to have to share the truth and the hope that we have because of Christ that liveth in our life. And that we've been redeemed, and that we could have this hope that never is shaken, and the knowing that you never lie, and knowing that you're always here with us. You're always with us, day in and day out, that you never leave us. Lord, help our faith to grow deeply. Lord, help us to depend on you more. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our very lives, even at home. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards at home. Forgive us, Father, for even at times at home, we're not really living a life that honors you. So, Lord, help our daily lives to really reflect the life of Christ. In Jesus' name. Have a song. I know, I think pizza will be here in about 12:30.